Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting installment of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are here live for you each and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And ladies and gentlemen, we have joined the ATB Network. So welcome all of you who are watching on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, wherever you're watching. Thank you for joining us here on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast. Well, I don't know where Mr. Mixologist Subs Chemical Julian disappeared to, but this right here is your boy Double J, Josh James, and the franchise player. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome boys. All.
Well, what a Raw tonight. What a Raw, what a Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this kind of made up for the SmackDown.
I was going to say, we had a really lackluster Friday night. I mean, we didn't because we had the really awful wrestling, but we had a really lackluster SmackDown event, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, tonight just made up for it. It was wild and crazy. We're talking off the chain, wild and crazy. Julian?
Yeah, we had CM Punk. He had a very good exchange in ring with Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. We had a stare down and then a confrontation between the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and the final boss, The Rock. We also had Sami Zayn kind of defending his reputation, if you will, as far as people telling him you can't beat Gunther. And so he had a match with Bronson Reed. We're still riding this whole Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae. Oh, you're cheating and being a heel. That's not good. That angle. We had a confrontation between Becky Lynch and Mommy, which ended up with Dominic Mysterio getting punched in the face.
That punch, ultra stiff.
Oh, okay. My God. Yeah.
My God. Yeah, that punch, man.
Man. I mean, that pretty so Shinsuke Nakamura had a match with Jey Uso. I don't know why suddenly Shinsuke's cutting these promos backstage, like he's being all mysterious and stuff, and it's like, so-and-so, I'm coming for you tonight. And the first time I thought it was him going after who did he have that feud with? He had a feud with Seth Rollins. He had a feud with somebody else too. So I thought it was one of these continuing the feud things, but nah, he's just like picking people week after week.
I mean, honestly, he's just like, yeah, let me see who I can start crap with this week. Okay, this guy. I really want to be at WrestleMania, so I'm going to cause as much problems as I can.
And speaking of this guy, these two beautiful men are now with us now.
Sunday Sinner and the Drew Nicholas. Welcome, boys.
I was waiting for Shinsuke to have his Booker T moment during that promo.
Oh my God. Thank God he did. They just didn't translate it right.
Hey, Jey Uso, coming for you. For you, Uso.
Nelson.
Drew, wow. You got something on your mind. What's up?
Yeah, Drew came in like with the Mr. Burns hands. He was ready to unleash some evil.
I know we're on a new platform, but I have to welcome myself onto this new platform by saying I have a raging boner right now.
Oh, my Jesus Christ.
And we're off that new platform now.
That was the fastest partnership ever.
It you was like watching The Rock and Cody Rhodes?
Hello, ATB.
I cannot wait to talk about that ending segment because I have so many questions.
Like, why did Cody Rhodes get thrown over the divider?
That's what I thought was gonna happen. No,
that's what me and Julian were like, just throw him over.
Did Cody blade? Because that looked like fake blood.
You know what? Julian said the same thing.
I said that looks like some Hollywood costume store blood.
Right, because like
I have that type of blood.
Because you can see when blood pours out of someone when they get a cut. Mm-hmm. Cody,
it also conveniently shown after the camera was on Rock for like a good 40 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So which he has some time to throw it on there or whatever.
Well, so earlier the night, Cody took a razor blade and he hit it on top of the wheel well. in his custom made American Nightmare travel trailer.
Yeah.
And he had to go in there and.
Are you sure it wasn't Pharaoh just ran out of the bus and bladed him right quick?
Well, maybe
Brandon. I got you, Cody.
No, it was Abdullah. He was helping Cody bleed.
Let's hope it wasn't Abdullah. Because
right.
Not the butcher I'm talking about.
So,
oh, God.
I will say this. There's been reports and stuff of Rock kind of getting away with more than other people got away with.
What? Get out of here.
No.
Cody
never could have guessed that.
Cody took some shots to the head with that trash can. And, I mean, for... since the Benoit thing, headshots of any kind with weapons have been completely like no bueno in WWE. You know,
The Rock is going to be throwing people over the top rope and not getting DQ'd.
He's going to jump off the top rope, and Bill Watts is going to be like, "That's fine." Wow.
For those who know, you know what we're talking about.
That kind of shocked me because last time I believe there was a headshot with the weapons was Undertaker Triple H, and allegedly they got chewed out pretty bad backstage for doing it. So it's a new era. One of the WrestleMania, I don't think Hell in a Cell, I think the WrestleMania before that, the street fight, they hit each other in the head with chairs, and they allegedly got chewed out and fined backstage.
You'd never hit someone in the head.
I mean, I've been in dozens of street fights, and I never hit anybody in the head with a chair.
Can I say
wet floor signs? Say, all that.
I use pillows.
Monday Night Raw. I'm trying to just brush over that. Monday Night Raw has not excited me as much as tonight's show has. Probably
too easy,
or at least
too easy.
Drew said he is not year. He has not been excited by going Raw in years.
But have you seen the picture in our group chat? Yeah, Drew looks really excited.
Light one up.
Okay, so I didn't watch the full show. I watched, I'll say, 80%.
You didn't get the full money.
But mostly everything that I saw, I enjoyed very much.
I think it was definitely a step in the right direction, especially with the road to WrestleMania going on. They made this feel like a WrestleMania, you know, go home show.
It did.
And we'll have another week.
Still another week.
Yeah. We still have another week before it's like the final boss. The road to WrestleMania.
Mercedes Martinez?
What about Mercedes Martinez?
The final boss? Or no, not her.
Wow.
You know who I'm talking about. I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm done with you already.
A different Mercedes?
No. Yeah. Who's the girl that just came back on AEW that was calling herself
Mercedes
the final boss?
Money.
No.
The boss. Oh, you're talking about
Serena Deeb.
Serena Deeb. That's it. Mercedes Martinez, Serena Deeb. All women look the same to me.
And ladies and gentlemen, those are his comments. His comments alone. Those are the Roundtable Pros podcast.
I like how I didn't get that for saying that I had a raging.
Thank you, Turnbuckle Studios, for rating us with those three viewers. Thank you so much. Shout out to the Turnbuckle Studios, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. If you're joining us through them, remember, go like, click, and subscribe. It's easy, it's fun.
Do now.
Amazon Prime. You can just click that Amazon Prime and boom, FREE free.
As easy as fun. What the hell does that even mean?
Shut up.
What?
Just shut up right now.
He's testing out a new catchphrase. Just leave him alone.
As easy as fun.
Easy and fun, doucheburger.
That's gonna be
anyway, Julian.
Profile. As easy as
Julian.
Fun.
Let's go. So,
speaking of which, the match you didn't know you needed,
No. Let's talk about that promo first.
I gotta bring y'all some things first.
Go ahead.
It's all about the
foreplay.
Andrade versus Giovanni Vinci.
Are you kidding me?
Oh.
I thought you were talking about Ricochet and JD.
Hey, that was the match you didn't think you wanted.
In no video game, I don't think anybody ever set up a match on purpose between these two. But I was like, why am I getting this?
The crazy thing is, we were supposed to get Andrade and Ivar tonight. And for whatever reason, it got changed at the last moment.
Two and one half dozen or the other. I mean, I don't want to see Andrade versus Ivar.
Why'd you just say that? Now the mod is going to be. Look, let me tell you something. The mod says that crazy shit to me all the time, and it makes no sense to me. What? And you just said it.
Oh, but as easy as fun makes sense to you. But that didn't make sense to you. Can we talk about the hypocrisy on this podcast real quick?
Wait, you want to see Andrade versus Ivar, but not Andrade versus Giovanni Vinci?
No, I wanted to see that. That match was great. That match was 5 stars in the Compton Swap Meet. Great. That match was great. 5 stars in the Compton Swap Meet. It was great.
I think Ivar versus Andrade would have been great. Then we would have got
Valhalla.
Yeah, we could have had Charlotte Flair versus Valhalla. She would
come down the ring with her dirty ass feet.
Why would we want that?
If this thing doesn't work out with her managing Ivar, she could always manage Tony Atlas. It's a ready-made gimmick.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
He's alive and getting his face stepped on all across the country.
Shout out to my boy Chris Parrish.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome, Chris Parrish.
Hey, Chris. Why so much hate for Sarah Logan?
There's no hate for Sarah Logan.
She's a Viking. I don't hate Sarah Logan.
Who is the Sarah Logan you talk
about? Yeah, I only know Valhalla.
Valhalla.
I only know the Maxi Impella ripoff.
Apocalypse.
Valhalla, if you hear me.
I want to call her. Yeah. Teddy Long's been hyping her up for years and we never knew it.
That was actually, I like that one. You redeemed yourself.
Yeah.
So that match you're talking about, Julian Valhalla. You guys got me all screwed up. That match you're talking about was something that I really truly didn't think I wanted, but when I watched it, I was like, wow, this is a bro.
It's like
in the world professional wrestling is what?
You don't know you want it until it happens. Trivia's not so bad anymore.
In the world of professional wrestling, there's so many matches that you didn't think you wanted, but when you get them, you're like, wow. And this was one of them. Jesus Christ.
Like VLT.
Okay, so Drew, let's just jump into it. Let's move on to...
God, I'm happy to have Cinder on here.
Well, first, can we talk about
there were JD multiple Gunner versus Ricochet?
That match was
we'll start off with the promo.
Oh.
Which promo are we talking about?
The
promo of the year so far.
Oh, Punk's, yes.
Oh man.
You know what? It's crazy. Someone on Twitter said, within the first hour and 20 minutes of Raw, there's only one match, and it was somehow still the best first hour of Raw this year.
Right?
This show. This show had like. You know, like we played like my GM mode on the video games and stuff.
Yeah.
You know how like after you book your show,
yeah.
You know how like when you book your show, afterwards they give you the analytics and everything and like the curve. This was literally like a perfectly booked show because you had the start 5 stars, you had the middle 5 stars. And you had the end 5 stars. And all the other stuff happened in between to ebb and flow throughout the night. And it's like...
Correct.
I don't think there was one bad thing tonight.
The one women's match, which was garbage tonight. Yeah. That minute long.
I mean, okay, it was garbage. It was garbage, but it served a purpose. The whole
gimmick storyline set up.
It did serve a purpose, yes.
We always... You know, Julie... me and Julian always talk about what are the stakes? What are the stakes? What are the stakes? Set up a it set up perfectly. Okay, so here's the situation. The internet has been blowing up with this match. This sucks. Why are you guys treating this person bad? Blah blah blah. And the WWE, for the first time in history, is playing up to the IWC. Whenever the IWC complains about something or something goes, something gets like become a hot topic. Lately, the WWE has been on top of it.
Let's make it an angle.
Yeah, let's make it an angle. So they were talking about how what's her name got booed,
Maxine
Dupree getting booed on these house shows. Honestly, no one gives a shit about getting booed on a house show. Okay, but she's getting booed on a house show, and someone posted it on. So now it became like, oh, the IWC is melting down because of this happening on Twitter. So the WWE,
boo a woman.
Let's make this a story. Now remember, earlier on we were talking about, oh, they bring back Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan's complaining about this and complaining about that. And now the IWC is starting to trend with Liv Morgan. Liv deserves better. She deserves better. She got added into a fucking title match. And the IWC is dictating the WWE's booking right now. Let's just be honest. Am I wrong? Wait, tell me I'm wrong.
Wait, this Liv Morgan angle happened when?
Since she came back.
Like a month ago?
Wait. Wouldn't this be the second time that happened? Give Liv a chance?
Yeah.
Yep.
How many chances does she need, right?
True. So that's what I was like, wait a minute. It's like, I remember this angle, but this was like 2-3 years ago. And it's back.
And her Ronda like Rousey
3 weeks ago.
It's like the herpes angle.
Whoa. No one wants that to come back.
No.
Exactly.
Speak for yourself.
So I do appreciate them taking that like IWC thing and making it into a storyline. So, you know, another company does that, and that guy gets shit on for it. But you know,
I think Ice Cube Jr. should just book Raw from now on.
Hey, O'Shea knows wrestling. Apparently, he knows wrestling.
He got AEW to do a video package for Mercedes.
He's the Black Freddie Prinze Jr.
The middle. That's of the a show, little out there, but okay. I'll bite.
The middle of the show had probably the best WWE promo of the year so far. CM Punk comes out. Am I correct in saying that he said his mouth works? Just ask April.
Yes, he did say that.
Yes, yes.
Punk made quite a few references tonight that were
PG.
AJ Lee returning confirmed.
even Drew McIntyre was like, yeah, we're PG here, buddy, or brother.
Keep it PG,
brother.
He also invoked the name of Vince McMahon.
Surely did.
Me and Bones laughed at that part.
Who's the one that made you the chosen one?
Right. He said, like, I dare you to say his name.
I dare you.
That was the part of the promo where I was like, oh, we're shooting now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Someone pulled out all the guns in that promo.
No, I even tweeted. I was like, oh, so we're fucking shooting.
Yeah,
this is a legitimate shoot.
Yeah, you can tell they really, you know, like Husky said right here. I'm gonna put it back up. I'm gonna assume Punk, Seth, and Drew all hate each other. No shit.
Yeah, like it was. Okay. It was one of the most real feeling promos.
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen in a long time. In WWE.
It didn't feel scripted. It felt like
not at all.
There was that awkward pause. During the promo,
what I really enjoyed, it was that actually what you just mentioned, because it like Drew gets on the microphone and he's sitting on the announce desk Indian style, and
don't shoot on my couch, you pervert.
He says that random line just like out of nowhere that was not scripted at all, and then Punk is just like trash talking him in the middle of his promo. So I know there was probably, I feel like some of Drew's stuff was like bullet points that they had hit.
Yeah.
And Punk was just trolling the shit out of him.
The funny thing is when Punk said, "I never sold a shirt with someone with another man's name on it."
Yeah, that was shooting too. Because the first thing he said was, he goes, "I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I have this shirt on," and he points on the back and it said that "Injury on Punk," and Punk was like, "Yo, I never had to sell a shirt with someone else's name on it," and he ripped the shirt like, "Yeah, I can't get this off." But then he shot back at him and was like, "Yeah, you know, I got like you know anything about that
the bicep line, but
yeah, really a lot of shooting going on."
And even Punk acknowledged that in the ring because they went back, they shot back to him, and he was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that was a good one."
Yep.
The funny thing fun. Was when Seth Rollins came out. And Punk was just tapping his head on his microphone. Like,
right. And he was on his knees like, "Jesus Christ, here we go."
Dude, the thing is, I get it.
Right.
Because he's just like, "I just want to go home. My arm hurts."
Well, I think one of the funniest lines was Punk says something about Seth putting on high heels and all of a sudden he's taller than him. And then Seth came out and he was wrong. Taller than him with the Maya.
He wasn't wrong.
Even before Raw went on the air, Drew posted a video of him going to Mindy's Bakery.
Oh my God.
That was so funny.
That was
so funny.
Hater of the year. Absolutely insane.
The crazy thing is, this is all stuff the Elite could be doing right now if they wouldn't have been immature about everything.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man. Like Pim Punk said, I'm old, tired, and I work with fucking kids.
I was hoping that Drew was going to come out with Mindy's.
The IWC blew up if he did that.
Now I wish he did.
I really was hoping that. Or like that he was going to come out to his own, to Punk's music first, or like something. I was really hoping.
If I booked it, he would have came out. CM Punk trunks and everything, it would have been came out wearing an arm brace and everything, mocking the shit out of Punk, called himself DM Hunk or whatever he was calling himself that one time. Dude, that would have been so funny. That would have been like, the biggest rib on Chicago.
That's probably going to be his WrestleMania gear.
Well, I mean, it won't make any sense because it's not in Chicago.
I know, but still, I could just still see him like since him doing that, saying, "Hey, look, I'm in the main event now."
He should have came out with a Jungle Boy shirt on. Imagine the heat.
No. Too soon.
Just you know imagine what? The heat.
That he should come been. Out dressed as one of the Bucks. He should come out with the no shirt, the jacket, the slacks. The
fucking, you know what I thought? I almost thought one of Drew's lines, like when he was talking about the brace and everything, and then the bicep, and he couldn't lift the way that he could. I would have jumped out of my chair if he said, "Oh, well, Punk, you know, young buck anymore."
You know, that would have popped too.
Money, you're coming up with money, Drew.
But you know what else would have popped? I don't know if you guys remember the Rock Stone Cold feud where the Rock tossed Stone Cold off the bridge.
Yep.
And threw the smoking skull belt off the
and threw up, dude.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he would have grabbed the fucking weight belt of Cody's and tossed it in the water and then threw Cody in the water too? Bro, IWC would have burned that. Tour would be on fire right now.
I think one of the best lines from the Punk promo was when Drew said, "You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't do drugs, but you spend more time in rehab than anyone I know."
That was funny too.
I'm like, that was that may have been the line of the promo.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I honestly, the whole thing, like the whole, it was, and it was like a 20 minute, it was Bloodline-esque.
It's honestly crazy because
and it was amazing.
We talk every week about how the Bloodline Rock promos have just been going on forever and ever, and they drag. This promo did not drag.
Oh no! Got me hyped. This whole promo got me hyped for Mania. Just like makes me like one like it felt real. This whole thing felt so real.
And honestly, all of the promos Well, the Becky Rhea one was
like, that was a little flat.
It was a little flat. But
yo, Johnny, I feel the same way.
Because even that one, like all of them hit a great mark tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what hit a great mark? Great. You know what hit a great Becky punched the shit out of him. That's what hit a great mark.
She shocked him.
Oh, my God, yes.
She
fucking shocked him.
Just seeing Boy. The replay of the slow motion, like how Boy. Hard she punched him. Oh, my God. That
he was there this was close no to like an actual to fractured jaw.
Now, oh, no remember- bull. This is in reference kind of to SmackDown where Kevin Owens was making fun of Pretty Deadly.
Oh, yeah.
He shows that before he punched him, his fist was here. And they were already like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Owens was talking about it the following week. So this time they did the close up. They go, nope, she clocked his ass. She clocked him good.
Hang on a second. I got to shut my door.
Yeah, it was, dude, there was so much. So much good stuff about this, man. But, you know, Punk saying, you know, people on Twitter are going crazy about the CM Punk, AJ Lee mouth thing.
Oh,
Stephanie Chase says, Abu, the of wrestling purist, says, CM Punk alludes to being good at eating, you know. Right. And Stephanie Chase goes, you can always tell, like legit.
So one thing, I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
I hate that when it happens.
Oh, I got it. Punk drop name dropping the two Jim Cornette podcasts got fucking Twitter all in a roar.
Right. Yes. People are like, he has two podcasts. Wait, what's going on?
Oh no, people were like, oh, Punk hates gay people because he likes this is a like what? It's a weird analogy, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because sometimes Cornette can be a little offensive? Much with his comments on certain topics.
You gotta understand though, CM Punk up in the OVW era of Jim Cornette. Okay, so like they're all Jim Cornette boys. Cody Rhodes, all of them.
Jim Cornette was gone by the time Punk came up. Punk was there during the Paul Heyman era.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right.
But Jim Cornette's lawyer is the one that defended Punk in the horror deal with AEW. So, yeah.
Wow.
He's a Jim Cornette guy now, for sure.
Yeah. How now everybody's saying that he's not for trans rights anymore. Which,
polar opposites, Jim Cornette and Paul Heyman, and CM Punk is a guy for both of them. Bringing the world together. That's what CM Punk is doing. Screw
Coke.
Fighting a good fight.
Get in a room and have healthy debates about whatever you want.
Hey, once Punk comes out and says he's a Vince Russo guy, that's when things are going to really.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh, I didn't see him going to burn to the ground. So literally, people on Twitter, and purists are saying this may be Raw's greatest ending in recent memory. This Cody Rhodes beatdown by The Rock, and I said. Julian here, but is it just me or is Rock getting like super beefy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's looking extra buff and you know, but you know, having a $500 shirt with the sleeves cut off to do that for you.
Yeah. A $500 shirt and a $10.
Man, I got a $5 shirt. I can cut the sleeves off. Will it do that?
You need a $500 shirt and a $10 needle.
It'll just make you look poor.
So wait. So those shirts that he's been wearing are actually, the sleeves are actually cut off of?
Probably.
Yeah. They're not like vests?
No. What he wore tonight was a vest.
Yeah.
But they're all Armani. So they're all Armani and Versace. So yeah, that's all that matters.
Because I'd be like, you have fuck you money. If you're buying a $3,000 shirt, you cut the sleeves off.
Bro, it's The Rock. Of course he has fuck you money.
Seth Rollins wearing some Dior sunglasses that he just threw out of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. If I have Dior sunglasses, if I even set them down, I'm going to freak out. This man's just throwing them outside the ring.
Hey, by the way, what did The Rock say to Cody in the ring?
Apparently, I'm going to whoop your ass.
It was
apparently
it
was never... Rock was like, I'm bringing back slavery.
Genre. Thank God you said that. Thank God you said
that. Tested, mother approved.
I already told you guys what he said. He said, you got an ass like your mama Sapphire.
Wow, she's just a common man.
So, Sean Ross Sapp tweeted that he seemed to come with Rock said, I'm going to make you bleed tonight.
Which, I mean, technically, he could have said that.
Yeah.
Do you bleed?
I'm pretty good at rip bleeding.
Lip reading, huh? That was an actual dyslexic moment right there.
Apparently, CM Punk's good at lip reading too.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's lip eating. Never mind.
I'm pretty good at lip reading, but there the problem go. Was is that they did a camera cut right when they did that, so it was hard to like make it out.
Well, I, for one, have some insider information. As
oh, do you?
So what The Rock said is he said, I'm going to be like,
get the disclaimer ready,
a horny high school kid at the prom with a virgin. You're going to bleed tonight. That's what he said.
Look, we lost one viewer because of that.
Oh, no. They said they're going to go try out that line, so they had to close. They're like, I need to go try it.
9 viewers now. Thank you, Sinner. Thank you.
Hey, can we lose 10 more, and I'll be happy.
Wow.
Get us a 69. That's a 69.
Ladies and gentlemen, those are his comments. His comments alone. They do not reflect the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast and or the ADB.
They're not that classy. Wow. Look, you knew what you were signing up for when you got us. If you didn't do your research, too damn bad. We had a guy with saggy boobs on Friday. What kind of show did you think you were getting?
So, The Rock is not going to be alone next Monday in Brooklyn.
He's bringing his 24-inch brother.
So Roman is coming with, and he hasn't been on Raw for a hot minute now.
Did you guys notice the two pitchers on the bus that were conveniently sitting right there during The Rock's beatdown?
Yes.
Two of his biggest rivals. The Rivers.
We're all messed up tonight.
It's one of those nights.
Don't you mean Stone Cold? Huh? What? Do you mean Stone Cold? What?
Who was the other rival?
John Cena.
Cena was. What I was mostly focused on was half of the time on the American Nightmare bus, the biggest thing you were seeing was that big old picture of Pharaoh.
Oh, yeah.
The door.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for Rock to say something about it.
Oh, I thought you meant the big vodka advertisement on the back of it.
Was there a vodka? I didn't even see
it. Yeah.
Whiskey or something.
Yes, there was.
It was like Westchester's vodka or some weird, weird name. But yeah, you know, like... the FIFO talked about it on Twitter a few minutes ago, but this is the first time in a very long time that the WWE has basically put out blood like on television.
Mm-hmm. So like, last time I remember
like really them, out on TV.
Last time I remember them doing blood and making it obvious was during the Triple H Roman feud leading up to that Mania where Triple H won the Rumble and was champion.
Oh yes, I remember that.
Wow, yeah.
Sean Ross Sapp did say after rewatching this many times, I believe tonight The Rock said, "I'm going to make you bleed." Okay, so
I don't feel like that was real blood though. Like we're cheap.
I mean, the blood. Never mind the blood aspect of it. The Rock was fucking dropping
so much profanity,
shit, and like there was a lot of bleeping in that ending segment.
It was nice. All that moments of silence.
Gotta be cool like kids.
Forget about being cool like the kids. It felt like I've seen a lot of people say this, not just me, a lot of people, that this felt like an old school Attitude Era closing to Raw. honestly.
Exactly. That's my point. It seems like this right, this Raw right here was 1998. This was a 1998, maybe 19, maybe 2000 Raw.
I don't know. Was Mark Henry sleeping with a transvestite in the back? Because that's peak.
I mean, he's probably doing that. He's probably doing an AEW. I don't know.
That is peak 1999 Raw.
That was peak. Yeah.
Almost, I'm just saying. Ooh, almost could be the new sexual chocolate.
I mean, next thing you know, we'll have somebody else having a baby. We'll have someone else having a baby by hand. Who knows?
Dude, okay. So hear me out.
So
WWE has taken sponsorship from Prime.
Mm-hmm.
They got Slim Jim.
Hey, Prime was in the middle of the ring just this week.
No, they said pay-per-views only.
Okay.
Of course,
Slim Jim.
Mint Mobile. Hear me out.
It ain't Mint Mobile. It's, what's the other one?
What the hell is it? Boost. No, it ain't Cricket
Wireless.
What if, and you can start this like maybe on a Saturday show, if they had a sponsorship from black.com? Okay. So you have Omos come to the ring. What he does is he's like the reverse Godfather. And what he does is he comes to the ring, and his opponent always comes to the ring with a valet.
And he takes him.
And he always ends up taking the valet, and she has to be white.
Oh, my God.
Once again, I'm going to say, thank God you're the one saying that.
Then after a few weeks, you know.
Go past, you can say.
And then, of course, they have to do a segment where Omos invites Bobby Lashley in the Street Profits over. And then he has the one girl that he brought, and they all stand around her.
Wait a minute, Bobby Lashley can bring his sisters.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I apologize for these heathens. These are their comments. Their comments alone. They do not reflect those of the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Wait a minute. Okay, so let's talk. Let's talk about the Attitude Era in 2024. Who would have what gimmick from the Attitude Era today? Who would be the Val Venus?
Damian Priest.
No.
Chad Gable.
Oh,
he'll be, Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, ladies.
Yeah, Dominic.
You see this mullet?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so like I said, the Godfather, that could be Omos.
Omos could be the Godfather.
Godfather gimmick.
Okay. Who could be Meat?
Who could be Meat?
We've got plenty of people to choose from to do a PMS. Pretty mean.
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed is the new sexual chocolate.
Oh, I thought you were saying is Big Dick Dudley.
Sexual caramel.
Julie, what the hell was that? What is Bronson Reed?
You have oil.
Oh, okay. I was confused. You're like, Bronson Reed could be the guy with the. I'm like, whoa. Maybe that's a Val Venus gimmick then. A 2024 Val Venus.
Yeah, he's
just doing my OnlyFans content.
Dancing, shaking.
He's like, OnlyFans.
Okay. Oh, so, going back to Monday Night Raw.
Yes, go back.
What else do we want to touch on?
I mean we can talk about everything.
So let's talk about who. Okay, so we had DIY versus the New Day.
You mean Regeneration X?
So that ended up in a no contest because we had like everybody and their mama running out and interfering.
R-Truth's like, I'm doing commentary. I ain't getting involved.
R-Truth right now, look, I know I said it before and I'll say it again. R-Truth is the main reason to watch WWE Monday Night Raw. The guy is comedic gold, national treasure. Like, dude, it's just too damn much.
Yeah. I love Truth. He legitimately the most funniest guy on the Raw. I loved him on commentary.
Also, Miz seems a little bit revitalized now too.
Yes,
which is nice. Yeah, because, God, awesome. I couldn't stand him for the longest time.
Another good reasons about Miz. I think why he's like his wife Maryse is cancer free, so that's good to hear.
Oh, yes,
shout out to her. So I don't blame him for being all bright and smiley. Like, hey, my wife's.
I forgot cancer-free. About that actually.
Yeah.
Yes, that's and a much also, better reason to be revitalized for sure.
And also, hanging out
interestingly, so going back to the promo segment that we talked about earlier, in the background of
that
tag team promo.
Whoa. Hold on. Let's stop this for a minute. Yeah, I knew you were going with that, but I want to go ahead and give a shout out to Get the Tables for rating us with 25 viewers.
Thank you very much.
Get the Table for rating us with that 25 viewers, man.
Devon.
Yeah. Gets the Tables, my guy. Drew, I know where you're going with that. And I'm excited to hear it because it was something I pointed out in our group chat.
Yeah. In the background of that.
Hey,
hello.
Joey.
Wonderful picture of Samoa Joe there.
Mm-hmm.
Was Paul Heyman
STG talking
to Drew McIntyre?
Yes.
And that really intrigued me because that got my brain going. I'm like, So,
hello, thanks for joining us, Kim. Do us a favor, go subscribe to the Roundtable Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Hello,
good to have you here,
Kim.
Wow, this scared her away.
Since the Elimination Chamber, pretty much. Every time Seth would try to help out Cody and be involved in the Bloodline stuff, Drew would come back and say, "You better not get involved in that. You better not be anywhere near that. I don't want that anywhere near me." I remember him saying that in multiple promos.
Yeah, that was Dom and Andrade also backstage too. There was a lot.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
That was the second one because you can see Andrade wearing the all white and Dom. That was when I want to say when Seth Rollins was like, "Hey man, this is not a something's going on, man. Something's going on." That's when you seen them in the background. So there's been Paul Heyman, Drew McIntyre. Like, factions are, you know, I've been saying this for the longest time, man. I love gang warfare.
I know that the World Heavyweight Championship match is supposed to be on night two.
Yeah.
But what an incredible thing it would be as one of our new people in the chat just said. Rock said that he'd make Seth's title go away. And I believe that that's exactly what should happen. And they should, because he's the final boss, Rock should take the pencil and erase that night two match, write it in to open night one, Drew versus Seth. And the Bloodline cost Seth the match and hand that title over to Drew, which honestly, Drew deserves. He does deserve that moment in front of fans.
Yeah.
And he is genuine. And I mean, he did flounder around for a little bit after that, but he is one of the greatest parts of Raw.
Well, what if Rock tries to cost Seth, but CM Punk gets involved?
There's so many variables, man.
I mean,
so many variables.
Everyone's set on Drew Punk when Drew comes back. What if they set up Punk Rock with Punk finally getting his win back over the Rock?
Well,
I mean, yeah, there's a lot between Punk and Drew right now. But, I mean, just imagine the promos, the heat between Punk and Rock. I mean, this is a few 10, 12, however many years in the making.
And Punk didn't mention
this. Whole bunch of full circle stuff.
Right. And I mean, The Rock is a big part of the reason why CM Punk walked away the first time.
Very true.
Was he, though?
Yeah.
Well, I mean
he took Punk's main event, and that really is what started kind of
downfalls.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that's what started. That's what started the old Vince McMahon. You know, help me out, and you know, that's what he when he was talking in that first promo at that first shoot interview with Cole Cabana. Right. He's like, oh, you know, that's when, oh, you know, I'll do a solid. I owe you one, yeah. And Vince just kept saying that and saying that and saying that and saying that.
The best part is when Punk comes back, there's so many ready-made feuds.
It really
He seems to have beef with so many people. How is that even possible?
He found a way. God
damn. I mean, no. He found a way.
Look, it's going to be bad when Punk has his title match and the chick that owns Mindy's Bakery costs him the match.
Well, she runs in, throws a Danish on the ground, and slips on it.
Pray. She's like, you cost me bad reviews.
Wow. Yeah, Punk's name probably got that chick like thousands of business. Thousands of new subscribers.
Apparently, it's like a hot spot for wrestling fans now.
Well, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so let's get back to this. Let's get back to the recap of Raw because we had some great matches on Raw. We had Sami Zayn trying to shake the stigma of not being good enough to face Gunther at Mania.
I just have no. Nothing about this Sami Zayn Gunther feud interests me. I have no like connection, I feel like, to what Sammy's doing. I just don't care. And I think there's so many better options to wrestle Gunther at the pay-per-view.
It should have been Sammy. Chad Gable.
It should have been. It would have made more sense. There's just no, for me, there's no emotional investment into Sammy because it was just like thrown together last minute, it felt like. Like Chad Gable had a ready-made storyline to go into Mania against Gunther. Sami Zayn just feels like we need to give him a match. So
I'm gonna agree with Julian because I know where he's going with it.
So two things. Number one, three things actually. Number one, Sami's storylines during like the regular year are usually kind of so-so. When they start ramping up towards a certain pay-per-view or something, they get a lot better. But at Mania, every match he's had, that guy has shown up and shown out and puts on a fantastic match. His match with Gunther is going to put them both over and like win, lose, or draw. Even if Sami loses the match, he's going to leave that match looking strong and Gunther's going to leave looking even stronger.
You know what my problem is with that, though? Like, I didn't watch the match because I kind of didn't really care about it. But the first thing that I made a comment on when Sami came out was, where's the pop?
The crowd's not invested. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is the reason I've never really been able to get into New Japan fully, is because, great matches are awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the match, there's nothing there. I need some emotional investment. I mean, for the WWE title match, Roman and Cody, there's emotional investment. For the world title match, Seth and Drew, there's emotional investment. For this match, and it's the same thing I feel with Becky and Rhea right now, I just have no emotional investment in the match. Bayley, Io, I have emotional investment. They gave me a reason to care about this match. Yeah. I have no reason to care about Sami and Gunther.
Okay, I care about Sami and Gunther because Sami's a three-time Intercontinental Champion. And at one point, the championship had to get vacated. And then when he came back, he had to go back and win it again in a ladder match. So Sami, and what they haven't done, and I don't know if WWE will ever pull the trigger on this. Sami used to have these conspiracy theory conversations with Paul Heyman on Talking Smack on SmackDown. And he was talking about how there's conspiracy to hold him back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of feels like they're coming back to that, but it's a different Sami than it was back then. Back then it was, you know, crazy conspiracy dude Sami. This is more like on the road to redemption Sami. So, you know, we're getting this whole, what they have not done is they haven't done the vignette that talks about Sami getting back to his Intercontinental Championship. It was mine. I won it this many times. I got stripped of it once or lost it to injury and I came back and I won it again. that, and I mean, and it's the exact same belt. It hasn't been redesigned yet. I don't think has it.
No.
Yeah. So the same belt. And so they need to show Sammy's like real reason for why do you want this match? Not, oh man, I feel really bad about myself and I feel that I have to pep myself up by winning some matches. Okay, well, you just lost to Bronson Reed. Oh,
Julian, I understand what you're saying, but it really is like if you look at what had transpired on Raw since September when September or October of last year when Gunther and Chad Gable had that amazing Raw match.
Oh, yeah.
The story since then has been Chad Gable trying to get back on top. Sami Zayn has never even been in the conversation for the Intercontinental Championship match up until a month ago.
Ha, and that's because what I believe Sami was the MVP of the Bloodline storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which had zero payoff for him.
They killed his momentum dead.
Yeah, and the reason why is, well, he couldn't. I mean, they're not going to let him beat Roman because Roman's had to have his streak. But it was in his hometown, and so this IC title shot or run or whatever, another WrestleMania moment for Sammy, might be a thank you for that because he never did really get his.
Let me boil it down for you guys like this.
Okay, if you guys are wrestling fans, you guys have been around the business. Center, you're a wrestler. You understand this. Drew, you're a columnist. You understand this. Julian, you've been around wrestling for God knows how long. You understand this. Even you, Josh, you're new to this type of wrestling. You understand it, right? I'm totally going to lay this out for you right now. Sami Zayn has done everything he has been told to do. He's not complained. He's not bitched. He's not going on the social medias complaining about not being pushed. Yes, just like Todd said, Sami literally had a better storyline than Cody when he came to the Bloodline. True fact. Chad Gable, same thing. What would it benefit Gable winning? Fans being happy for a month or two? Exactly. Correct. Sami Zayn has been one of those guys that he went on that losing streak. And what happened when he started losing? I said to you guys about 2 months ago, I said, they're angling to have Sami be the guy to beat Gunther. Look at everything they're doing. When they did that little six-pack challenge for guys to get into it, they didn't give a shit about hyping anyone else's road to that except for Sami's. Yep. Sami lost. Oh, Sami lost. Sami won. Now there's a story between Chad Gable pushing Sami to be a better person. Next week, Chad Gable, they're going to have a video of Chad Gable training fucking Sami. You know, that's going to happen because that's Sammy's Rocky moment in Philadelphia. If they show Sami running up them goddamn stairs to that Rocky statue, you know he's winning the title.
I don't disagree with you, but I feel like a better moment would have been Gable winning at WrestleMania.
So, fact check, first of all, the statue isn't at the top of the steps anymore.
Whatever, I don't care.
They moved it off to the side. Second of all, if Sammy wins, it's going to fall flat. Sammy's not getting a reaction from this crowd. And no one wants to see Gunther's title reign, this historic title reign, in Sammy. It's a fact that, he didn't bitch and he didn't moan, whatever. There's a lot of guys that have been super over that they just ignored that didn't bitch and moan. Zack Ryder was probably the biggest star in WWE back in 2012 to where they were chanting his name during The Rock's promos.
Hey,
didn't matter.
That's you know why?
Wait a minute.
Because they didn't make him. You can't go out there and make yourself. What are you thinking?
That's what Sammy did.
What do you think you are?
That's what Sammy did.
Bad Blood, what you just said about Sami Zayn, that him being a yes man, doing what the company asks, never complaining about Twitter, how can you not say that 10 times more?
Shorty G.
Shorty G, Chad Gable, who was given the crappiest shit from Vince McMahon doing that stupid angle with Baron Corbin, where Baron Corbin changes his name to Shorty G, and then for like almost 2 years after he was done with that feud, he's keeping that stupid name while other people are getting their names.
Now, I agree with you, Drew. I didn't forget about that. I completely 1000% agree with you, Drew. Yes, he has been doing that, except for the fact that they wanted to split him and Otis up last year and give him a run at the Intercontinental Championship, and he said no. He wants to stay partners with Otis and put Otis over. That's the reason why while Shorty G, aka Chad Gable, is not getting that push like we want him to. Trust me, did I want Chad Gable to win the Intercontinental Championship? Fuck yeah. That guy deserves it. That guy is on point. I would move Chad Gable to SmackDown, have him win the United States title, and have him get a run like Kurt Angle as the new American, all-American. That's what I would do.
And to be honest, that U.S. title needs a little bit of bump, so maybe.
It's not the biggest star in social media.
I was about to say, you can't give it a bigger bump than being with Logan Paul.
Right.
But I would put that United States championship on an Olympian like they did Kurt Angle and make that belt like super pop.
I'm not denying Logan Paul's title reign. It's been a good title reign. I'm just saying, like, it could, like, after when Austin Theory was champion, that belt needed help.
Here's the thing. Momentum is something that once you lose it, it's hard as hell to get back. Sammy has not gotten momentum back. They kept Chad Gable strong during that Gunther feud where he beat Gunther by countout.
I agree, Husky.
Gunther barely kept the title in his rematch with them. Like, Chad Gable had the momentum to go into Mania to where it made the most sense. Sammy has not gained his momentum back from last year. When he lost to Roman, he lost his momentum. He got a little bit back going into Mania for the main event. And then what? They just forgot about him and Kevin Owens until Judgment Day.
One year ago to this day, he was arguably the hottest baby face in the company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he does not have that. He's been going out there for weeks to silence. The fans just do not care. Sammy is a song and dance man.
So, you know what? I like Drew's idea of a Chad Gable training Sammy for the WrestleMania match.
That was my idea.
That was not me.
Oh. I mean, you guys look the same. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, what that would lead up to is this guy who's the underdog coming to beat Gunther, all of a sudden this trainer turns on him. And now he's the underdog again.
Screws him out of the title.
I was just going to ask you guys.
Sammy has to win it, and then Chad Gable has to turn around and take it, or, you know,
But Chad Gable is not going to win then either. They're gonna hot potato the title from Gunther. This amazing reign that he's had for what, 2 years now almost?
Yes.
To then give it one pay-per-view defense from Sammy to Gable. He might as well have just given it to Gable.
Right. Because Gable as a heel ain't gonna have the momentum he has now.
I was just gonna ask what would happen if Chad Gable cost Sammy at WrestleMania?
Then we go back to about Chad Gable.
Look, Todd said it best. Not booking Gable increases his momentum because we're talking about him. Facts.
We're talking about him because he makes sense going into this match. Sammy does not. The fact that we're having a conversation about Gunther and Sammy and all we talk about is Chad Gable shows who should be in that spot. It's not Sammy. Sammy does not have the momentum. Sammy does not have the crowd support. If Sammy wins in Philadelphia...
Sammy, you have my crowd support.
You don't count. So Philadelphia is a hard crowd, a very hostile crowd. If Sammy wins in Philadelphia, the crowd is going to shit all over it. Because Gunther is the type of wrestler that Philadelphia crowd likes.
Mm-hmm.
They might as well have the Sandman come out and just cane Gunther and win the title.
I mean, why not?
That'll get a pop.
Don't give them any ideas.
Triple H, you're listening. Don't listen to that.
I'm down for one more.
Triple H, never mind. Triple H, do that, please.
I am a big Sami Zayn supporter. I love Sami Zayn.
Me too.
He's one of my favorites. honestly. But when the story doesn't call for it, when it doesn't make sense, I can't support it.
Right. I mean, it's not about who you like and who you don't. It's just the writing's on the wall. There's no emotional investment in this match.
What about the guy that took the UK title off of Gunther when back
in Generico?
Yeah.
He said, yeah.
No, it was Ilya Dragunov.
No, it was El Generico. He just said
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. El Generico. Not the last set.
Yeah. And he's running an orphanage right now, but he'll be back.
This issue has been kind of like the overarching issue that I've had with Triple H's booking. Because I feel like he's really good at this in the moment stuff, booking the stuff in the moment, but when it comes to actually stretching it out the way that it properly should,
no comment.
Why did I have to look at you when I said that? I don't know.
I don't know why you did that.
When it comes to actually
ask Stephanie,
booking the feud long term, I feel like he doesn't hit the mark that well. And it's I've seen it constantly with Drew, with Sammy last year, with Gable now. How many times, randomly all of a sudden, God damn it, come on.
I'm sorry. Triple H stretching it and not hitting the mark is just, come on. You made it.
I'm trying to move on.
Apparently he's trying too, and it's not working.
Look, Drew is gonna drive this point home till he hits bottom, so just let him go.
So that's just been my problem for the most part with Triple H's booking. Mm-hmm. He does great stuff. He has done great stuff.
He dives headfirst into it.
Not gonna go there. Too easy.
But yeah, like, where did the new DX, these two, where have they primarily been for the last 6 months?
Backstage.
Like
catering.
He brought back all of those incredible, all the firings from the pandemic, and most of them floundered for a year. How many times did I rant about Damage Control's debut, and then immediately they don't win the titles and they get shoved to whoever, Aaliyah and whomever else?
Let me speak to this, because this is my main problem with Triple H.
You gotta say it right. Yo, 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 let me speak on this.
Yo, yo, yo. So, what do you want to talk about? This is my biggest problem with Triple H. Besides that, he doesn't know how to finish stories. So there's a story about director Kevin Smith when he wrote his first movie, Clerks. The end of the movie was the stir clerk that was the main character gets shot and killed.
Oh yeah.
And the guy, so someone came to me, he's like, hey, like, the reason you had the movie end this way is because you do not know how to write an ending to a movie. You don't know how to end a movie. That's what Triple H's booking is. Triple H is good at the beginning and middle parts. He doesn't know how to book finishes to stories.
Yeah.
Look what he did with Austin Theory in the briefcase.
I don't think that was
just.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Intercontinental title thing. Yeah. What's Damian Priest done with his money? I forgot Damian Priest was Money in the Bank till just now.
I think. Yeah, he's almost cashed in a couple times. There was a real obvious moment. I think we were talking about Elimination Chamber and how that was just like a wasted opportunity. He didn't cash in. He did nothing with it.
Well, how many times has... Seth Rollins, he was out injured. Why didn't Priest just cash in on him then?
I don't know.
He's going to end up
cashing. Mania or... I mean, when is Money in the Bank, we said?
June.
Yeah, in June. So, I mean,
he's going to end up cashing in on the 24/7 title, because that's just how it works. it just, that's the main thing, though. Triple H does not know. Like, Sammy has all this momentum going up to Backlash. Triple H didn't know how to end that without just having Sammy beat.
Well,
and then you drop his momentum.
You got to understand that Sammy was, when he was in the Bloodline, his shit was like hot.
Oh, yeah.
And he was why people, him and Jay, it was the interaction between him and Jay. That's why people were tuning in to see it.
Right.
And as soon as I saw at the Royal Rumble where Sammy, you know, where they turned on Sammy, and then he was going to challenge for the title in his hometown, I was like, that kind of sucks, you know? Because I know he's going to lose. I know Roman's going to retain. I mean, Roman's already booked to go to Mania to defend his title against Cody Rhodes. He's not going to lose to Sammy on this in-between trip. Although, if they did that would shock the shit out of the fans.
Well, here's the thing. Here's how you could have did this.
And you could have done the old screw job where, upon later investigation, Roman's shoulders weren't on the mat. Or
the biggest elephant in the room was that we just touched on. Cody last year not winning.
Yeah.
So here's how you could have ended the Sammy thing. You know, Paul Heyman, master negotiator, could have said, if you don't walk out with the belt, you don't get another shot as long as Roman's champion.
Yeah.
Have Sammy win, but he wins by DQ. He wins by countout. Some fuckery finish where Sammy wins, but he's not champion. Hey, I didn't say if you didn't win. I said if you didn't win the title, you never got another shot. Now that gives an ending to his run against Roman and gives him a reason to go after those tag titles that Jimmy and Jay have. And you still have that Mania main event.
Yeah.
The way they did it killed everything Sammy had going for him. There is many ways you can book yourself out of that corner, but Triple H didn't do the smart thing. He just went with Roman must pose.
Yeah. So, and I mean, listen, we had a happy accident as a result of Roman winning last year because we wouldn't be getting this shit right now.
Right.
So, you know, that's not because of Triple H. That's because of The Rock.
Bro, I just hope Roman retains at Mania. I want to watch the world burn.
God.
Yeah, that's going to be... that might be an all-timer
moment. If the world is going to burn, that's as good a reason as any.
Look, no better way. I mean, Twitter may shut down after that.
That'd be just fine.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Becky Lynch, the Becky Lynch segment.
Another match I have no emotional investment in. I don't care. I just don't. How did Becky get this match? Did she win the Rumble or the Elimination?
She won the Chamber. She won
the Rumble. Oh, yeah, the Chamber. That's right.
Oh, yeah, Bayley won the Rumble. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Todd, we do AEW as well, so make sure you subscribe to us and be here on Wednesday.
Yeah. We are more AEW guys, too, me and Drew. Josh, not so much.
I like AEW. There's just some things I don't like.
If it's not the Becky,
Here we go. Don't talk about it.
Like lettuce.
Wow. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen,
Josh just wants to kill me sometimes, and I love it.
He's going to in your sleep.
I'll call Brandon, and he'll do my job.
Josh is gonna be like, "Hey, can I spend the night?" You're like, "Sure."
I thought it was Bones that did your job, but
no, Bones won't do it. He loves you.
He said Bones won't do it. He loves you.
Bones don't job to nobody.
Yeah, Bones.
That ain't gonna work for me, brother. Yeah, but Becky, Rhea, I just have no emotional investment in it. I mean, obviously, I feel like Becky's going to walk out with the title because she's the Charlotte Flair of Raw.
And I find it kind of funny that Rhea got cheered the loudest than Becky. But also, I don't know if I would agree on that one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Rhea's over. I mean, Rhea's a heel, but Rhea is over like Rover, as the kids say these days.
Yeah. Although she's kind of getting over lately for other reasons besides her wrestling.
Well, she revealed she's actually part of the Bloodline. She's a descendant of Rikishi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was actually Josh, calm down.
Hey, Nia said.
Josh was like, I'll take a stink face any day of the week.
Nia posted on Twitter. She said, "Anything interesting happened this week?" And I was out eating or buying groceries.
Yes, sir.
Nia had her own moment where she had a fan feeding her popcorn at the live event.
Nothing will be Nia screaming "my hole" though.
Oh,
that is peak Nia right there.
Yeah.
That was so weird, dude. Pandemic Raw.
That was such a weird time. Pandemic era Raw was just such a weird time.
It really was.
Between the random pictures that would pop up on people's screens before they started vetting them a little more, like the one Raw where Chris Benoit's picture was on the screen for a good 15 minutes.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember I got asked to be one of the faces on the screens. And I did it 1 week, and my face was on there for like a month.
Yeah. Well, they realized, oh, shit, we can't control an actual live virtual audience, so let's just use pre-tape of fans that are behaving.
Yeah. Todd says we should just be happy that Nia hasn't injured anyone.
Y'all going to start waiting on Nia.
Josh, stop it, Josh. You know,
Josh.
Okay.
Josh read stuff like that, because when Josh reads it, bad things happen. Like Josh puts out the women's title, what happened? Asuka gets hurt. I'm just saying, every time Josh brings up that belt, somebody get hurt. Every time Julian goes on vacation, somebody gets fired. Like Jesus Christ. So they watch our show, guys. They watch our show.
On a side note, the night of WrestleMania night one, AEW Collision will be on at 11:30 that night, Eastern time.
Has that been confirmed?
Yes.
11:30 Eastern?
Yes. So that would be whatever 3 hours is less than 11:30.
8:30 in the morning? Boy, WrestleMania's over.
No, at night. At night. They're not going head-to-head with Mania. They're like, because then last year, didn't they go head-to-head with Mania?
No. Collision wasn't around yet.
Collision wasn't a thing yet.
I thought Collision started in January of last year.
No.
They did AEW
Battle of the Belts during WrestleMania Night 1.
Well, that was dumb.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, they're smart, though. Collision's going to be on at 11:30. So pretty much after, if Mania ends at 11, which... if they're like AEW, will end at like 5 in the morning.
Well, I think that the problem with announcing that so soon or so
it
early,
gives WWE a reason to run over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, WWE doesn't have a hard stop because they're on Peacock. They're not, unless the venue has a hard curfew, which sometimes the stadiums and stuff will be like, you have to be done by 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
but it's Philadelphia. They don't care.
Their pay-per-views generally tend to be pretty short. Now, I'm not expecting WrestleMania to be short.
Well, I think that's why it's two nights. Because I feel like that's why they've kept it two nights, because it keeps them from like having. Because you remember, it was getting to the point where WrestleMania was 5-6 hours.
It was like a monthly AEW pay-per-view.
It was to the point where like it was a full day's job.
WrestleMania 2000 started at noon California time.
Oh yeah, they had WrestleMania all day long that.
Yeah, it was like all day WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I sure don't miss those long hours.
That's back when you had to pay like $80 a pay per view.
Yeah.
So I will say this. I have HBO Max. They've added a Bleacher Report section.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, really?
And then now HBO Max is up higher. It costs a little bit more now, but yeah.
AW, I did not know that. I get it with my YouTube TV subscription. So it's an extra add-on, but right, it's not like $20 a month.
I'm the only one that doesn't have HBO Max.
I got it with DirecTV, and it's just, I got it for 3 months free, and then have to decide after that.
I remember the only reason I got HBO, the only reason I got Max was so I can watch all the DC stuff that was on it.
Okay, this has nothing to do with wrestling.
I only got...
Since we all have, well, except Josh, doesn't have Max.
The pores.
Have y'all checked out the Quiet on Set documentary?
Oh my god.
Not yet.
Oh my god.
Someone uploaded the whole episodes on Twitter, so that's how I watched it.
That shit's crazy.
Speaking of documentaries, are you guys ready for this documentary?
April Bray 1st. Wyatt.
I'm not ready for that one either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but Drew was there when he returned at Extreme Rules.
I don't like mentioning it now, considering.
The Netflix thing starts next year, Todd.
Yeah. Now, is what's going on now with all this bleeping and stuff a preview of what we're going to get when they go to Netflix?
Bleeping and stuff? What?
Well, I don't think they will be bleeping.
Because here's the thing, like the reason they've had to tone it down so much is for sponsors. Obviously, you're not going to be getting sponsors on Netflix because it's a pay streaming service.
Yeah.
Netflix don't have commercials like network TV does.
Come on, I didn't think about that.
Huh, that's a good question.
Good point.
Is there an ad? No, I think there is. It's been
ad-free network.
Ad-free. Is there there's no ad-free Netflix?
No, there's no ads on Netflix. That's like, there's no Netflix commercials.
Now, Paramount can go to a higher package to
right.
Just ad.
Like, same just thing like with the cock. Same thing with, just like well. The cock.
I hate you.
I never realized that there was no ad on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix has never been ads. I mean, they may implement it because they got to make some of that raw money back.
They will put ads on Netflix.
Yeah, right?
But here's the thing. Like, WWE doesn't care to care about getting sponsors because, fuck, Netflix pays a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. Right.
They're lucky enough for you to go out there and make your money back.
Right.
I mean, they'll probably, I mean, it's not going to turn into like rated R.
No, I don't think it's going to be like ECW level, but I think they're going to get away with a little bit more.
Are we going to come back with a live sex exhibition?
Netflix and chill roll.
Okay, so I will tell you, like I watch a show called Suits, right? Yes. So Suits is really good on Netflix throughout the whole 8 seasons. And they were like dropping F-bombs and everything. And you're like bitch, ass, fuck. Right, but the moment they went over to like Prime, went to Prime, and I was like, yeah, like every other word they're bleeping. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
And
like,
here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing. I just got a notification on my Amazon Prime video that starting soon you'll be getting commercial breaks, and we'll for a higher price you can get commercial free still.
Oh like, yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, I heard about that.
But speaking of great shows on streaming services, on Peacock, home of the WWE Network, there's a great show called Couples to Thruples.
Stop it.
What? It's a good show.
Stop it.
Drew, you'll like
it. Stop it right now.
Probably. There's some hot man Stop it. Sex.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here.
Like this podcast, there's a lot of
the Round Table Pro Wrestling Podcast.
We'll just bend it over for you.
Thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you guys on Wednesday with AEW Dynamite's recap.
Thank you, ATP Network.
ATP Network, thank you very much for joining us. Hey, if you like what you heard, you like what you saw, do us a favor. Go like, click, and subscribe. On the Roundtable Pro Wrestling POD. Go like, click, and subscribe. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Have a good night.
Maven for the whole.